Welcome back to the JT The Brick Show, brought to you by the DaCosta Verde Law Group. If you get injured in an accident, call 702-222-9999.
It's time for JT the Brick.
I'm rolling today. Vegas is the sports and entertainment capital of the world. No debate. Every day we have the ability to talk Raiders, and you can talk about whatever you want to talk about this time of year. There's never an off season in the Raider Nation. I've done this rodeo before. Do we all agree?
Here we go again.
Hey, girls.
JT the Brick.
We want to put guests and callers on the radio who can make an impact. We're going to talk sports, all different types of sports, because we do a sports talk show. We have the best fans in all sports calling this show for over a quarter century. We hope that remains the same whenever you want to pick up the phone. Enjoy everything we do, and please always feel welcome to call in and to tweet and to be a part of the show. It's Big Boy Radio. Are you with me? What do you got? You, the Raider Nation, have an opinion. Use the phone like a weapon.
And now,
this is completely BS.
Here's JT the Brick.
Welcome back, everybody. JT in studio today. Jess is in for Bobby as we got another hour to go on this hot, sweltering day here in the valley here. But if you're living out here, you're used to it and you understand that. It's a big week coming up in Vegas with the NBA draft, which is tonight. And we'll get into that tomorrow, the double dip on that. The hockey draft and the hockey awards and the Sphere opening up for their first major sporting event, which is huge. Darren Millard will join us, one of the great broadcasters of the Vegas Golden Knights momentarily. Mitch in Jersey, you've been waiting. I want to get to you this hour. Go ahead. Thanks for starting us off. What do you got, Mitch?
Hey, JT. I can't wait for baseball to get out to Vegas. There's MVP awards in the example of least. You got Harper and Shohei Ohtani, and you see Judge. He's having a great year, but both has two guys. Look at their numbers: Gunnar and Adley. Gunnar Henderson, especially.
Yep.
I think he's gonna rob. I think Judge can get robbed from an MVP, and maybe Shohei will win an MVP. That'd be the first guy ever to win MVP consecutive years in different leagues. Have I said that correct?
Thanks for the call. Let me jump in, Mitch. I think Ohtani's going to win the MVP. He's playing for the Dodgers. He's going to have a big offensive year. If he was pitching at all, it'd be a lock that he'd be the MVP. It'd be a lock. It wouldn't even have to vote on. It'd be unanimous. And I think Judge is the MVP in the American League now if the Yankees can start winning again. The Yankees are swooning and falling apart. But you mentioned the Orioles. I think the Yankees and the Orioles are going to come down to the wire. I waited around all day for that call. That's one. Okay, let's see if we can get a better one or someone else who's got a pulse today and get this thing moving. 702-365-9200. Darren Millard are going to join us in a few minutes, and he'll jump on. I like baseball. I watch a lot of baseball. Last night I was in the backyard brick in the pool watching the Yankees fall apart to the Mets. Baseball is on my house. My wife's a Cub fan. So in the background, the Cubs game is on throughout my house during the day, when the Cubs play during the day. But the rest of baseball here, baseball's a tough watch. Not many people watch 9 innings of baseball anymore. Not many people watch 9 innings of baseball anymore. They get their baseball highlights in a 90-second to 2-minute wrap-up every day on Yahoo or ESPN or even in SportsCenter. I mean, they're getting to WNBA stats, everybody, before baseball, or WNBA highlights before baseball. I watch this stuff like a hawk. And the WNBA is doing really well now. Shout out to Mark Davis and Larry Delson and everybody over at the Aces and that fine team going for a three-peat. But baseball ratings are getting pushed aside by the WNBA. We know what the WNBA does against the NBA. You should see what the WNBA does against some of these regional baseball markets. Believe me, the WNBA outdraws regional baseball other than in Boston and New York and L.A., all day long. Darren Millard, kind enough to join us, host of the Vegas Golden Knights TV broadcast. Darren, thanks for coming on with us. I wanted to talk to you today about hockey in Vegas, the Sphere, and what an important moment this is for this city. The only other bigger one is when Mr. Foley brought the inaugural franchise here.
Well, let's start with a question that I want to ask you, because this has been swirling in my head for the last little while since the playoffs have been on and the national network's been touting their broadcast in the National Hockey League draft. The Sphere. Is it Sphere or is it the Sphere? ESPN, the promos, they call it Sphere.
Yes.
And I've always known it as the Sphere. Now, there's no, I don't have anything to go on that. I just called it the Sphere. But I don't call it the T-Mobile. I just call
it T-Mobile. Good point. Look, you're a wordsmith, my friend. You're a wordsmith. If you're doing this correctly, it's Sphere. On Sphere. X, on Twitter, it's just Sphere. And on X, it says Sphere Vegas. They put Vegas in there. But, yeah, a lot of people like to say the, and it's not the Allegiant Stadium.
Did. I always do it. But in the promos on TNT and ESPN and the broadcast, they just called it Sphere, and it got me wondering.
Well, let me ask you this, because if you're on radio like we are in TV, isn't it easier to say the Sphere? Hey, I'm going down to the Sphere instead of I'm going down to Sphere. Right, if we're going to do it right.
I'm going over to the Lee's Family Forum. I'm going to Lee's Family Forum.
Right.
So I think this has been a process. And if you agree with me, I will start calling it just Sphere.
I think this is a pivotal moment for our friendship and broadcasters here in Vegas. I think if you and I start it and just say Sphere, I think it'll stick.
Let's go. And people will say, we're on JT the Brick Show.
I've seen you two and Dead and Company there, and I was blown away. Blown away. I can't imagine what the NHL is going to look like in that orbital, which is incredible. Now, I know the bands that play there got to invest a lot of money into their graphics and all that. I don't know what the NHL is doing. It seems like they've been pretty busy putting on the postseason and the Stanley Cup final here, but what are your expectations?
They are that it's going to be spectacular. Mm-hmm. Anything short of spectacular will be disappointing. Mm-hmm. And Steve Mayer, who is in charge of all these special events with the National Hockey League, he is a savant when it comes to making things bigger and better than simple expectations of presenting an event, an outdoor game or an awards show. Or drafts in the past, he continues to push the envelope, and Steve will have this circled as a marquee opportunity in his career to make his mark. So I think that they will pull out every stop imaginable to make this a signature and memorable event. I know from talking to a couple of people, they're going to broadcast the event. Or carry the television broadcast on the outside of Sphere. So that will be neat and a pretty cool thing to watch on what we see on the outside of the LED screen. So that is going to be an interesting look. But they're gonna hold some things back that we won't see until they actually go to air. And I think for the last in-person draft, this is the last time they're going to gather like this. They're going to sort of empty the tank, if you want to use that expression, and no holds barred. I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I thought they did a great job with the way they put the broadcast on F1 when F1 was here.
And how amazing.
It was amazing, especially if you're on that side of the track over there. Darren Millard's our guest. Darren, we lost out on an iconic moment. I mean, the Panther fans are happy. They could have choked a 3-0 lead, and they would have been basically the brunt of jokes till the end of time here. Good for them that they won, but wow, Connor McDavid coming back from 0-3 to win the cup. Where would that have stood? Because it's not standing in history, but where would it have been in your mind if he came back from the dead, down 3-0 with the Conn Smythe if he lifted the cup as a captain?
We did a special edition of Nighttime at Noon on Monday, Brian McCormick and I, put it out there to the audience and to Brian, was Game 7 the biggest, most high-profile game in NHL history? Because you had Connor McDavid, the best player in the world, in a position to win his first Stanley Cup, rallying his team from the start of the season to being down 3-0 in the Stanley Cup final. Couple that with the Florida Panthers being back in a Stanley Cup final, blowing a 3-0 lead, and everything that goes along with all those storylines. And I was a firm believer that it was. I couldn't think there was other good Game 7s over the years. Ray Bourque winning his first Stanley Cup in Colorado against New Jersey. You had the Edmonton Oilers beating the Philadelphia Flyers in a spectacular Game 7 in 87. There's been moments that I've certainly looked back on that were memorable. But if Connor McDavid wins that game seven, I think it's the most high profile, memorable game in NHL history. Florida won. Mm-hmm. It doesn't qualify anymore. No offense, but just avoiding disaster isn't enough to push it into the upper echelon. It's probably not even top 10 now, but it was significant. I was happy for Florida as well. I think it would have been tragic to get all the way back again and blow a 3-0 series lead. Paul Maurice is a personal friend of mine and our family. I was really happy for him. He started coaching when he was 28, and that was his first Stanley Cup, the relief on his face. Walt Tkachuk is a good friend of mine. I was really happy for their family and his wife, Chantel, from Winnipeg. So there's some good storylines there, but it certainly wasn't it took a large step backwards as far as its position in the most important games or biggest games in NHL history.
Wrapping it up with Darren Millard, were you okay with McDavid not coming out for the Conn Smythe? I was, because they started the celebration.
I couldn't believe it was a conversation.
Yeah.
I was shocked that it was even a discussion. And I don't know whether it's just because we just saw Rory and he bolted, and I was fine with that after the U.S. Open. There's no way that Connor McDavid was going to come out, shake hands, and accept the Conn Smythe and walk off with a trophy after his team just lost the Stanley Cup in Game 7. And I'll go a step further, JT. I don't think the Florida Panthers, quite honestly, would have appreciated him coming out and being there to accept the trophy. Like, that's their moment.
Yes.
That's not Connor's. And I don't think it was like he was said, no, there's no way I'm going back out there. He just realizes that's not the place to go out and accept a trophy after you lose and the other team's celebrating. So I thought it was a big, a lot of conversation over nothing. I was disappointed in that discussion.
Same here. I said that the second he didn't come out and understanding the magnitude of that. Final one, the importance of this draft for our Vegas Golden Knights, considering how big this team, and you look at the individuals behind the money, they're wizards, moving money around, getting guys off IR to play, putting this team together, giving their fans the best chance to win. But I'd like to see some youth and to see a trade up or a trade back or a trade for other players. What's at stake for this franchise after recently winning the Cup and having this draft here at Sphere and the importance of getting something big to come out of it?
Okay, let's look at the importance of the organization first and foremost and what it means as a hockey town. The last in-person draft in National Hockey League history is going to be in Vegas the year after the franchise won the Stanley Cup. They're not putting it here if it's not a legitimate major force in the hockey world. So that's a real compliment to Bill Foley and the Vegas Golden Knights and what they've been able to do. As far as the future of the franchise, they've always leaned on building through trades and free agencies. They have not acquired a majority of their talent through the draft. That's not saying that the 19th pick won't be that, but I wouldn't be surprised if Kelly McCrimmon moved up. It's top 10 heavy, and then after 11 or 12, it's wide open. I wouldn't be shocked if Kelly moved into the top 10 on Friday night. But I also wouldn't be shocked if he traded down. If they liked a player and thought he was going to be available at 25 or 26, you might get a fourth rounder, another pick, because they don't pick again until 6 and 7. I think Kelly, I like to think that I sort of think Kelly McCrimmon, after being around him for 35 years in Brandon and Western Canada. I've just got this feeling that Kelly McCrimmon's got something up his sleeves coming this weekend. And with free agency on Monday.
Darren Millard, always a pleasure to talk hockey with you. Thanks for everything you do. Appreciate you coming on.
JT, you're awesome. Let's talk a lot this summer.
I hope so. Darren Millard, there he is. Great guest. Big Twitter following, big social media, and he just gave you a nugget here on what he thinks could happen. He knows this team well. He believes that Kelly McCrimmon, this is the last in-person draft. It's at Sphere here in Vegas. I wanted to say the Sphere. I'm going to say the Sphere. I am, right? Jess, don't you think I should say the Sphere? Because I live here. If you don't live here, then you could say, I'm going out the Sphere. No, I live here. I'm going to say, I'm going to the Sphere. Okay, because I got a fourth grade vocabulary. Isn't it incredible that I make a living talking? But I'm very good at not saying, That's one thing that I know from being a broadcaster. You should not be allowed on the radio. Now, I'm sure every once in a while a like slips in because the Kardashians have changed our world. The Kardashians have changed our vocabularies. We don't have royalty in this country like they do in Great Britain. We have the Kardashians. And all they say is like, do you want to go get to, do you like want to go to the club? Do you like? So that sneaks in to our vocabulary here. I try to avoid that. But the guys on the radio who say all day, they're allowed to broadcast? I mean, aren't there some rules in broadcasting? Now you got guys on TV, radio, the behind the glass, they wear a funny hat, a cowboy hat, and they're on TV and they're on the radio. You have to talk to be on the radio. And I'm not perfect. I'm like one of the only guys left talking to myself, man. There's not many. And that's my flag in the sand. Thanks to Darren Millard. He was good. He thinks something cool could happen to our VGK because of the size of the stage of what's happening here. And it's in Vegas, and maybe they shock the world and do something special. Mark Jones is going to join us next. What a title he has. The president of the Black Hole. Think of that. I mean, the Black Hole is notorious. It's a fan base all over the globe. The president on a membership push coming up here. We want to tell you about that. And then Vince Sapienza from Fox 5 is going to dive in and tell us about this amazing weekend, especially UFC 303. Without Conor McDavid, the brothers win. Brothers win. The brothers have your back. Alex in Orlando to Castaverde. I was right by their law office yesterday in Tivoli Village. What a tremendous law group built on the legacy of their father. If you get into an accident and injured, 702-222-9999.
Brought to you by Local 872. Your workforce solution.
Final play, fourth and goal at the one. O'Connell the snap, comes up, lobs near side for Adams, jumps, bobbles, catches, hands, touchdown! Oh, the jump ball to the left side of the end zone, and Devontae reeled it in over his shoulder to keep the season alive with 43 seconds to go on fourth and goal from the one.
Horowitz. That is Jason Horowitz, who is the voice of the Las Vegas Raiders, and we'll see him up here at camp coming up here in a little bit. JT, back with you as we continue on. A lot to get to here. If you want to get through, 702-365-9200. We're getting close to debuting our top 10 Raider games in the history of the franchise, radio only. That's coming up here in a little bit. I'm very excited about that. We've been working around that pretty hard over the last couple of days. We're trying to tighten this up and put this together. So we're going to have probably 2 or 3 days right out of the gate where we're just going to be talking about honorable mentions. And those will be games that will not make it into the top 10. And I think most people will understand why as we get into that programming on why we're leaving a game out or why we're going to keep a game or what we're thinking about overall. But this is a lot more in-depth than what I thought going in there because there's a lot of games that are famous. There are a lot of Raider games that are famous over the years, over the decades, but they're not a top 10 game. They're just not. They're famous, and they're important games, but they're not going to make the top 10 because we have championship games, we have AFC championships, we have Super Bowl victories. And when you do the math and you count backwards from 10 to 1, it's hard to put in every game that has a name, like the Ghost of the Post, Sea of Hands, Heidi Game, Holy Roller. You know, Red Ride 88. And a lot of these games are going to be very tough, and we're going to put some into the honorable mention category and get into that. I will look through some notes last night here because I'm building up a folder for preseason, and I'm trying to figure out the games that we're going to jump in and what games are going to matter most here coming out of the preseason, and still jumps out at me week one at the Chargers. Week one at the Chargers, Sunday, September 8th, 1:05 p.m. on CBS. Remember, the Chargers were 5-12 last year. I'll get back to that momentarily. The president of the Black Hole. Mark Jones joins us. It's got a great ring to it, Mark. It must be great if you want to get a restaurant reservation or board a plane earlier to say you're the president of the Black Hole.
Well, that doesn't work everywhere, JT, especially Kansas City on Christmas night. But yeah, thanks, brother. It's great to be on today, and we're super excited about the season.
Yeah, we should be. And before we get into that and road trips and what you're working on, I love this lifetime membership with the Black Hole. I got the site in front of me. How'd you come up with this? Tell me the hook of this story, because I think memberships in the Black Hole is the number one priority. More Raider fans need to become members of the Black Hole, and now you got a special offer with a lifetime membership.
Well, you know, it came down to, you know, as we've been, you know, really kind of growing the club here, obviously in Las Vegas, as, you know, we came here, you know, we've just been getting to the point right now where we actually don't need to have reoccurring dues in order to run the club. And at a time when everybody's paying more for less, we wanted to do something. You know, the whole reason that we have the club in the first place is to basically do stuff for the fan base. Like, we want to have a Disneyland type, you know, experience for people that come, you know, to Las Vegas for a game, because it's expensive. Mm-hmm. And we realize that. So we're trying to do things to give back, and that's what the membership really does. Everybody who joins, you know, is just more and more allows us to, you know, kind of leverage our numbers and to be able to go and have a nice brunch at Luxor where they're giving everybody a discount. You know, it's basically a numbers thing. So for us, it just seemed like the right thing to do to be able to give back to the membership and say, hey, thanks to everyone's support. We've been able to get this to a point now where we don't have to have reoccurring dues. And just like the Raiders, you know, once a member, always a member. And we love that. And we're going to keep doing it as long as we can. And again, it's just because of everybody's support. And you know, we're trying to build something special here. You know, and it takes a lot of work, and it takes a lot of people behind us to help. So, you know, obviously the more and more support we get from membership, the more and more things that we can do for the fan base when they come here.
Mark Jones is the president of the Black Hole. Go to theblackhole.com and check out their memberships, the Classic, the Ultimate, and the Die Hard. And what I love about the Die Hard, the jacket that I have, which is fantastic, the patch, the bobbleheads, official certificate suitable for framing to let everyone know you're part of the family, and the first to know for all the Black Hole parties and events. And for all the Black Hole parties that I've been through for over a quarter century, they're big. I mean, these are the biggest parties. It could be in Miami. It could be in New Orleans. It could be in L.A. These are the parties that Raider fans want to get into. So if you have the Classic membership for life, there's some other exclusive factors, too, to be a type of fan that could have a different experience, right?
Absolutely. It's all about having fun at what we do. And really, you know, we're Raider fans on 11. And we like to have a good time, and it shows. And the more the merrier. So we're looking forward to, you know, everybody coming out and you know, and just continuing to grow.
Mm-hmm. Mark Jones, as we wrap this up. Mark, I don't know how much you can tell us. I know you do events at Flanker. I know there's going to be a little bit of a evolution of the tailgate coming up here. There's some new partnerships that you have going on overall, which are really good. What can you tell us, and what are you excited about that's going to kind of hit the scene quickly here that could be a game changer for the Black Hole?
Well, we've been very, very fortunate to have some great partners, obviously like Modelo, Woodson Whiskey. We've been doing a lot of great things with, you know, with MGM and Caesar. So this year, we got a great thing going on with our brunch over at Luxor this year. It's going to be even better than last year. We're over at Carnival Court on Saturdays now, starting at 2, with a really cool outside venue there with music. And then we just partnered with Terrible Herbs and Whiskey Stadium right across the street from Allegiant to basically host our Sunday tailgate now. And that's gonna be a whole nother level. We've been working on that all off season, and it's going to be something special and something I hope the fan base just really, really likes. It's been sorely needed, and, you know, we're going to step up and answer that call this year.
That's a big deal, and I wanted you to announce that here exclusively on our show as a proud partner of what I do here every day from noon to 2. Good to talk to you, my brother. I'll see you soon. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you, JT.
Appreciate you, buddy. Mark Jones. Go to theblackhole.com. So he just announced it. It's official. The Black Hole is taking their tailgate from the parking lot into Whiskey Stadium. Whiskey's the new bar owned by the Herbst family, which is right there. right across from where the Black Hole used to tailgate in the parking lot, and they're moving it indoors into a big space there with incredible deals for members and for those who want to go do that. Now, look, I'm very careful about the way I tailgate and what I like to tailgate. I grew up a tailgater as a kid. I like tailgating. I told you stories when I was 16, 15 years old. I'd go to tailgates and strap beers and put my ski pants on over the beers and sneak them into the games. That's how hardcore I was at 15, 16. Well, I've slowed down a little bit when it comes to taping beers with electric tape up and down my thighs and sneaking it in to the fourth deck at the Meadowlands. I don't do that anymore. But I love a great tailgate. And I like an outdoor tailgate. And the Raiders, the organization, just released 4 tailgate opportunities where you can be in air conditioning. It's $20,000 a game. And there are people who are going to pay for that. Snap their fingers like that. So if you want to rip it, you don't like air conditioning tailgate with TVs, I don't know how you can't, considering how hot it is there, I get it. If you want to tailgate and continue in the E lot or the G lot, go ahead and do it, man. There's a lot of people that want to flip burgers, carne asada, and do all that. I like that. But the Black Hole, these are my guys, and they're moving inside to the Whiskey Stadium because of their partnership with our partner Modelo, everything that they're doing with the Raiders. And we'll see what happens. It's a big space. I went and toured it. I went to the space before the Stones and got a pretty good view of it from Tim Herbst, the owner. And I walked around and said, wow, how many people can you fit in this place? And he goes, a lot. And that's where the Black Hole is moving. So the Black Hole is taking their notorious tailgate, which is not the same tailgate as Oakland. We get it. No one has the same tailgate since Oakland. And they're moving it inside at Whiskey Stadium. I think if you go, you're going to have a good time. But if you're going to go, you want to be a member. So just $59.99 and you're a member for life. Are you kidding me? $59.99 and you're a member of the Black Hole for the rest of your life. I don't know how you turn that down. 702-365-9200. So as I took out my notes here, and Jess is looking at it here, Week 1, Chargers, September 8th, 105 CBS. Chargers record 5-12. Jim Harbaugh, Greg Roman, Jesse Minter, they got a new head coach, new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator. They've lost Austin Eckler, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, Kenneth Murray. Their additions, they had a pretty good draft. They got Joe Alt, the 5th pick overall, Ladd McConkey, the wide receiver out of Georgia, and the 34th pick. I thought that was a bit high for him. And the last time the Chargers played the Raiders, they lost 63-21. And the odds of the Chargers winning the AFC are better than the Raiders. Did I miss anything? Las Vegas, the Raiders' all-time record against the Chargers, 68-58-2. And you would have thought that the Chargers, I mean, Jim Harbaugh flew to the moon and back, walked on water. It's like a given. The Charger fans think this is a given. They're going to win the game. After that, we go to Baltimore, where they were 13-4 last year. Sunday, September 15th. That's a 10 a.m. start. 10 a.m. start. So not only do the Raiders have to open up with 2 on the road, they open up at a 1:05 start and then a 10 a.m. start against a team that's 13-4 and coming off 9 days off because Baltimore opens up at Kansas City on the Thursday night. So not only do the Ravens have 9 days off heading into the Raider game, the Ravens get that game at home. And the Raiders have to go back-to-back on the road to play the Harbaugh brothers. And you think I make this up and I do this for drama? Come on, man, I just tell you the truth. With a little bit of passion and energy mixed in. What an absolute screw job. What an absolute punch in the face that they gave the Raiders this schedule out of the gate. Where was Chargers at home at Baltimore? Where was that? How about home opener Carolina at Baltimore? Where was it? Are you going to say, well, you got to play? No, no. Where was it? Again, I'm not joking. Was there a boy band playing that we couldn't do it? Did we have a conflict with a boy band from Korea? Maybe we did. I don't know. But this is what we got. And we come home for the Panthers, 105. Panthers were 2-15. And then we play the Browns. Our second home game, they were 11-6. Wow. That ain't easy, man. If raise your hand and beep your horn if you take 2-2 right now. Because I know I got some Raider fans. Oh, 4-0. Oh, 4-0. What do you mean? That JT the blank? What do you mean? 4-0. No. Sorry. 3-1 would be great. 3-1, we got to have a Raider rally, man. If we get 3-1 out of the gate, Jess, can you imagine that? Oh, 3-1? Book the playoff tickets if we open up 3-1, we the season ticket holders. 2-2? The coaches will never tell you. We want to win them all. No, you want to be 2-2. If you can be 2-2 going in to an opportunity to take out Denver and go 3-2, that'd be a pretty good start, but you want to win them all this time of year. Vince Sapienza will join us next from Fox 5. He's got a UFC update. He's got a hockey update. He's got a Raider update. He's really good. Very good content provider. Jess is running our show for the first time and doing a well of a job today. Appreciate that. Hopefully Bobby's doing well today, and we'll come back and do another big show tomorrow. Only 1 hour tomorrow because we're going to be covering the NBA draft coming up then. So stick around here to the flagship of the Silver and Black, brought to you by Grimaldi's. Had it the other night with friends over. They all said the best pizza we've ever had.
Down 14-3. You've got to put this in the end zone. 5 on the play clock. Hooper still moving over to the right. O'Connell's set. Gets the shotgun. Looks right. Over the middle. Has Devontae at the goal line. He reaches the ball across. Touchdown, Raiders!
All right. Turn the music up there. Let's go. There you go. JT back with you as we continue. I think I'm jumping on with Vinny Bonsignore here in a little bit to start off his show. Thanks to everybody who's listening today as we continue on here on the flagship of the Silver and Black. Vince Sapienza will join us momentarily, and we'll get him up here. A lot of news. Look, the Aces, it's a big story. No doubt, big story nationally. We want the Aces to win. They're going for a three-peat, and we're excited about all the news that's happening here in Las Vegas this week. As we lower the music now, and we are back, yes, as we continue on here on the flagship of the Silver and Black Raider Nation Radio. So for everybody that's in town this week, there's a lot of people in town this week that are here as visitors because of sports. That's not happening in other markets around the country. There's a big one, elephant in the room, former market of the Raiders, Oakland, that doesn't get any of this. None of this because they didn't build it. And they didn't keep the teams, and there's a lot of politics involved with that. The politics in Vegas to get the Sphere built, to get Allegiant Stadium built, to get all these other resort properties built is the reason why we're having all of these events, and no one covers it better. I mean, I watched this feature last night on Fox 5. Vince Sapienza joins us. Vince, you had it all covered. Let's start off. You're at the apex for this UFC 303. No Conor McGregor, but Dana's been known with a cancellation to move on and even have a better card at times.
Yeah, you know, you can make an argument now after the reshuffling of the deck, if you will, that this card is as good as any International Fight Week has seen. I mean, when you look at last year, the economic impact of an International Fight Week from 2023 brought in $99.3 million, which is essentially a four-day work week when you consider all the events for the UFC. Obviously, with Conor, that was going to smash all kinds of records. There's going to be a drop-off, but Alex Fajeda versus Jiří Procházka, they may not be super household names, but these are two of the most dangerous men in the sport. I just got done listening to Jiří right now, and he's one of the most intense guys I've ever seen or heard. So fans, MMA fans, casual fans alike, they're in for a real treat with this one because the 13 cards on the fight are fantastic.
Why does this UFC Expo work out so well in the Fan Fest and all that? Dana's vision to do this and get the fans to come in and have such great access with the fighters, everybody around it, the sponsors, the partners, it's really genius to me.
Yeah, I think you said it right there. The big word is access, the accessibility. I mean, you're not just getting, you know, a place to take a picture with, you know, a championship belt. You are getting UFC Hall of Famers. You are getting current athletes, UFC personalities there all day taking pictures, interacting, getting in the cage with you, you know, squaring off, having, you know, different moments that you just kind of don't see anywhere else. You know, we've seen the NFL draft and what they were able to do when they were here in town, the different people that they were able to bring. But, you know, that is such a massive footprint, right? Mm-hmm. The Las Vegas Convention Center with UFCX, while it's a big space, it's pretty intimate when you get these fighters in and the fans get to have the access that you just don't see anywhere else or in any other sport. And the athletes are a big part of it, just their personalities and how open they are to it, because they know without the fans, you know, they don't have much of a sport as it is, and they really take that in stride. And that's what makes this week so much fun, so exciting, and it gets the fans going.
Vince Sapienza is our guest. So we had Darren Millard on earlier to talk about the NHL, the awards, the draft, everything that's happened in the last draft in front of fans, and it's going to be in Vegas at Sphere. And he thought that Kelly McCrimmon maybe could pull something big here. It's a dramatic moment for Vegas. The franchise has already won the cup, and the draft is here. Are you sensing anything big coming up here with VGK?
Well, you know, it was very interesting during this past NHL trade deadline. You know, all the moves that the Golden Knights were able to make with Tomas Hertl, Noah Hanifin, all these different moves, right? Mm-hmm. And they gave up first-round picks, but what did they not give up? They did not give up their first-round pick in this draft. Now, you know, as a fan, you're sitting there saying, there's no way they just wanted to make a pick in Vegas just because the draft is in Vegas. Well, I would argue that. I would say it's a pretty important deal, especially, as you mentioned, the last one with fans. And more importantly, the last draft where all the GMs and their scouting departments are in under one roof. That is a massive part of the NHL, and it's sad to say that it's going away because so many deals would be going on that draft floor because teams don't have to necessarily pick up a phone. They walk 10 feet over to the Ottawa Senators table or whoever it would be and get a deal done right then and there. So that's exciting because now what it does, at least for one last time this weekend, anything can happen.
Yeah.
And I know we kind of say that a lot in a lot of different ways, but literally anything can happen. Somebody makes a pick, all of a sudden it's like, well, our guy's gone. We need to get rid of this pick. Let's walk over to this table and see what we can get done. I mean, the instantaneous factor in all of this, and again, just getting all the GMs and together on one roof, just in general, will make more deals and more conversation. Because when conversation happens, then all of a sudden deals start to happen, and that's what fans like to see. Players maybe not so much, but the fans, that's what makes the draft such an exciting spectacle. It's not the same pomp and circumstance as the NFL draft or maybe even the NBA draft, but it's the amount of inner workings and conversations that drives the excitement and the fun of what the NHL draft is.
Look, Vince, there's been a lot of news around the Raiders since they moved here. You have tremendous access to the owner around the organization. It was Henry Ruggs, the John Gruden emails, Josh McDaniels hired and fired, Jimmy Garoppolo, the injury, Tyree Wilson drafted injured. There's a whole bunch of things. Gerrion Conley, we can go. Josh Jacobs is here. Josh Jacobs is no longer here. It seemed very quiet now from a personnel standpoint. I like where we are right now in regards to the team.
That's a good thing.
Getting along. They like each other. There's no drama. There's just a little bit of a quarterback question. I don't think it's much of a controversy. What do you see from a distance here as you're mining for content on the news here on Fox 5 and you look at the Raiders?
Well, first things first, I say that is good news.
Yeah.
Somebody who works for Fox 5, the official broadcast partner, because now these preseason games are going to be must-see TV because we actually have a quarterback competition.
Yes.
No controversy, but a very good competition where these reps and these games are going to matter. And, you know, watching the OTAs and the mandatory minicamp, and, man, there's good days we've seen, and there were some tough days for the quarterback, no doubt. But the thing that I've been impressed with the most is maybe Aiden O'Connell's interaction with the rest of the team and not, you know, wilting or you know, going in the shadow of a veteran quarterback coming in. I've really liked what I've seen of Aiden O'Connell. He's commanding the offense. He's commanding huddles. You know, many guys we've talked to on both sides of the ball said their biggest takeaway was Aiden O'Connell's personality. And I know personality doesn't necessarily result in wins and losses in the National Football League, but that is quite the foundation to create.
Mm-hmm.
When you're a second-year quarterback fighting for a job and trying to prove to, you know, essentially a new coaching staff, like, hey, I'm not just one of the guys. I'm the guy that can lead this team. So that was my biggest takeaway from the, you know, OTAs and the mandatory minicamp is just kind of the way Aiden presented himself. We've heard him say kind of all the right things and speak confidently, but to see it on the field is obviously a different animal, and that's something, if I'm Raider Nation, I am loving that. And to your point, the quiet off season, that's fantastic. So that is good news.
I'm assuming you have a few more credentials this weekend to add to your collection. Am I right to say that?
I do. You know, it's funny. The wife and I just were putting all the credentials in a big tub, and she goes, this is going to be another big week for you. And I was going to come on and say, you know, we got a big week in Vegas, JT, but, you know, it just feels like another week for us here because we're spoiled. We're blessed and spoiled because this isn't just the entertainment capital. This is sports capital of the world, baby. So this is another great week to be in Vegas.
Thank you, Vince. Have a good weekend. You'll be busy. I'll be watching it and listening. Thank you.
Appreciate you.
All right, Vince Sapienza, Fox 5. Yeah, I won't call him a rising star. He's one of our big stars here in Vegas because of what he just did. He's going from UFC to NHL, NHL, see him at an Aviator game, this and that. You know, the grinders. Well, that's what we like to have on this show, the people that grind and work through it. Right, Jess? You're grinding today. Nice job. And I know what you do is difficult, and I appreciate you being in here for Bobby today. First of shows together. Thank you so much. There is a lot happening. So we have the NHL, the NBA draft. We have UFC in town. I'm going to the Aviators tonight. My buddy Jaden Hicks, who's now with the Chiefs. Don't worry, I'm not a Chief fan. You know I'm not. This kid grew up in my backyard. He was picked in the fourth round. He's throwing out the first pitch. My son's going to be on the field with him. So my wife and I are going to go to the Aviators tonight with a hat on and sunglasses, some shade, some cold beer, and have a great time. It used to be walking distance from my house, but not in this weather. No. I've walked to the Aviator games, but not tonight. We're gonna take the ride over there, relax, and get in the pool before and after and cool off. Vinny's coming up next. I'm going to be jumping in with Vinny, I think, in his first segment. He came on with me. I'm going to come on with him. I don't think we're stretched thin right now. Q's on vacation. I'm going away next week. Vinny's going away tonight. This is the time to get out of Dodge here as we get ready for the Raiders training camp. Around July 21st, I believe, rookies report, July 23rd, will be the vets reporting, and we'll be out there to welcome them in Costa Mesa, which should be a lot of fun. There is breaking news in the NBA. Bam Adebayo, the extension, $166 million. How would you like to be an NBA player and your agent calls and goes, oh, yeah, they agreed to $166 million. Not $16 million, not six, which is a life changer. $166 million. It's just incredible. And the NFL tells teams it won't hold the supplemental draft this year. The NFL said earlier today that it will not be holding a supplemental draft, according to a league memo obtained by ESPN. It's the fourth year out of the last five in which the league has elected not to hold the supplemental draft, which is the league's right under the collective bargaining agreement. And the league has the right to that. Vinny's up next. Thanks to all of our proud partners. Hope you enjoyed it today. Who do we have? Bill Williamson, Vinny Bonsignor, Darren Millard. Wow, Vin Sapienza. And Mark Jones, the president of the Black Hole. And they're all on time, 5 for 5 today. That's how you thread a needle, Jess. Nice job today. I'll see everybody back here tomorrow. We only have a 1 hour show tomorrow. It'll be on YouTube also. YouTube, JT the Brick, YT for YouTube. Please subscribe. It helps if you subscribe and like it, and then you'll get notifications whenever I go live. Appreciate it. Have a great day, everyone.